Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harmish Desai from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good afternoon and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital. From the management, we have Mr. S.C. Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Amitabh Bhargava, President and CFO, recently designated as President and Chief Strategy Officer with effect from August 1, 2023, Mr. Tarun Sinha, President, Technical Ammonium Nitrate, Mr. Suparas Jain, Vice President, Corporate Finance, and Mr. Deepak Balwani, Head, Investor Relations. Also, I'd like to welcome Mr. Deepak Rastogi, who has recently designated as President and Chief Financial Officer of the company with effect from August 1, 2023. I would like to thank management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. S.C. Mehta, followed by Mr. Amitabh Bhargava for details on financial performance, post which we'll have a Q&A session. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone. I extend a very warm welcome to each of you for the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Deepak Fertilisers. I trust that you have had the opportunity to review the financial statements, press release, and earnings presentation already made available on the stock exchange and our website. This quarter, as you would have seen, we have had a severe drop in our bottom line. And the obvious questions that would have arisen in your minds would have been, what has led to this drop? And are there some fundamentals that have shifted or is it a temporary aberration? So let me share some of these undercurrents as we saw them. And here are some four or five undercurrents that I would like to share. Firstly, post-COVID, a swing back on the raw material and finished good prices in comparison to the huge jump that we had seen last year, the swing back was expected. We had also envisaged that for a quarter or maybe two, there was likely to be a mismatch in the sense, in the terms of the sequence, that sometimes the raw material prices remain the same, finished good prices drop first, and sometimes the other way around. So these were expected and we had thought through in our budget when we had set it up also. And we expect these to settle back into a fair and balanced equilibrium matching to the typical long-term average. Second impact, especially for our TAN sector, came from the dumping of cheap fertilizer-grade ammonium nitrate, SGAN, from Russia. Now here what we saw was initially the embargo from various countries and global players for the Russian products post the Ukraine war made India a very convenient dumping ground for whether it is Russian oil or Russian Afghan and others. Now combined with this, the government because of an earlier fear of not having sufficient ammonium nitrate for the mining activities, coal mining in particular, they had also put a ban on exports of TAN. So on one hand, the import floodgates opened up with cheap Russian Afghan and exports were banned. Now as we see the scenario, the embargo is somewhere getting readjusted in terms of the global needs. And we also learned that the government is actively considering lifting the export ban on TAN. The third dimension that emerged is where we saw that a major global phosphate supplier to India decided to virtually withdraw from the phosphate market and move to finished fertilizer supply. Now here what we in the industry and we as Deepak also what we have done is we have encouraged and nurtured a lot of new phosphate suppliers from other sources and have fine-tuned our plants to accept the acid from multiple sources. So that front also should be something that should now be on a comfortable wicket. The fourth interesting negative impact that came in was due to the reduction in the fertilizer subsidies. Now normally as the raw material prices come down, there is a resultant subsidy reduction. But in this case, you know, the government was delayed in announcing and, you know, they had to retrospectively announce the reduction for the first quarter. So actually two quarter reduction came in simultaneously in this current quarter, adding up to almost 160 crores of impact. And, you know, for us and everyone in the industry, the material that was there in the pipeline inventory, that is what is something that got hit because that pipeline had finished products manufactured with the earlier raw material prices. So now, of course, we have approached the government to somewhere consider this factual aspect and see whether, you know, some relief can be, you know, given particularly for the pipeline inventory. We had internally, we had also somewhere an extended shutdown in one of our nitric acid plants, but the long delivery repairs and all are now behind us. And lastly, the rains were also somewhat delayed, probably due to the adhik mass. And now, you know, good rains and adequate kharif sowing has happened all over, particularly in Maharashtra. So while we see the typical lull that is expected in the mining activity during this monsoon, now I'm talking about this quarter, with its typical impact on the TAN business, the fertilizer season should certainly be brisk. So having shared that on the positive side, we are very happy to share that, you know, for our new ammonia project, we have seen a successful trial production emerge. And very soon we should be declaring the complete commercial production. And that will be something that will be giving us a long-term, very good risk mitigation on our key raw material for all our three businesses. Lastly, I might share that at the fundamental level, our you know, critical strategy of moving from commodity to specialty continues to be a very strong and positive strategy. And we are continuing to work, you know, on that front for all the three businesses. And we are finding in each place a very positive traction. So on the fertilizer side, while, you know, the one-time this subsidy hit came in, but at the product level, we are continuing to see a good margin. Similarly, and that is emerging, of course, because we have now shifted more and more to crop-specific nutrients rather than the commodity fertilizers. Similarly, in case of technical ammonium nitrate, more and more we are looking at holistic offering, what we call as TCO, total cost of operation, you know, offering that, you know, is required for the end user, where product plus unique services put together as a holistic solution is what we are offering, and that is having a very positive traction. And so also in case of our industrial chemicals, where we are seeing that the unique offered products, pharma grade, small packs, and the hospital grade products, including in case of nitric acid, the solar grade and the steel grade acids, you know, where we are addressing the requirements of specific segments, those are all giving very positive traction. So for more details, I would now invite Amitabh to share with you in terms of figures and the rest of the details. And of course, they'll be available to answer all your questions. Thank you. Amitabh? Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mehta. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining the Deepak Fertilizers and Petrochemicals Corporation Limited conference call to discuss Q1 FY24 results. During quarter 1 FY24, we achieved a total operating revenue of 2,313 crores, representing a decrease of 24% compared to the same period last year. This was, of course, largely due to the raw material prices going down, and commensurate with that, there was also reduction in finished good prices. Our operating EBITDA for quarter 1 FY24 amounted to rupees 281 crores. With a margin of 12%. Despite the challenging quarter, we recorded a net profit of 114 crores with a margin of 5%. During the quarter, our chemical segment had a revenue of rupees 1,238 crores, a decrease of 30% on YOY basis. IPA sales volume increased by 87% YOY in quarter 1 FY24. With manufactured IPA generating revenue of 154 crores. Manufactured acids for the quarter recorded a revenue of 319 crores, a decrease of 25% compared to the previous year, though as such the volumes were up 7.5%. The manufactured TAN business had a revenue of 541 crores, which represented a decrease of 50% YOY during the quarter. So volumes as such were down 15%. As far as fertilizer segment is concerned, quarter 1 FY24 revenue decreased by 15% YOY to 1,069 crores. Manufactured nitrophosphate and NPK inclusive of our crop set recorded a sales degrowth of 34% YOY to 737 crores. So as such, volumes were down by 8%, which was largely because of delayed rains, as our MD was alluding earlier. Benzal sales decreased by 59% YOY to rupees 21 crore. During the quarter, our IPA plant operated at a capacity utilization of 111%, and both acids and TAN operated at 83% and 87% respectively. In the crop nutrition segment, NP and PK plants operated with utilization of 76% and Benzal plant operated at 51% utilization level. The available capacity across our plants gives us that additional headroom for future growth potential. We recognize the challenges that lie ahead, but remain committed to our long-term vision and growth objectives. With a dedicated and resilient team, we are confident we'll navigate through these uncertain times and achieve sustainable growth. With this, we are happy to take your questions. Thank you.
So, shall we begin with the question and answer session?
Yes, please.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Madhav Marda from Fidelity International. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, yeah. Madhav.
My question basically was on the ammonia facility. Now that it's about to ramp up, could you give us an update in terms of how the spreads are looking currently, given where our RM cost is for the gas and then the end market pricing? If you could just share that, please, that
would be helpful. Yes, so we are currently looking at FOB Middle East prices of about $230 to $250 in that range. Given the current gas prices, I think overall we would somewhere be between $125 to $150
negative in terms of our import parity prices versus the prices at which we would be producing ammonia. That said, I think there are two other points I want to make. One is that while the import parity prices of ammonia are obviously derived from $230 to $250 FOB Middle East, the domestic prices of ammonia, other ammonia that is traded domestically, we are still seeing significant premium over import parity, and that reflects the cost of production because for all the producers of ammonia who trade into surplus ammonia, the gas prices still remain elevated. That gives us an opportunity to place part of our ammonia in the domestic market. Also, this quarter, the quarter gone by, we saw almost 18-20 days of disruption in ammonia. And that's again one uncertainty that we would once our plant starts operating commercially. That uncertainty and the uncertainty around, therefore, production of our downstream products like TAN and acid, that uncertainty in some sense would also be taken out. Those are the factors that we need to sort of look at from the point of view of once our own production of ammonia begins.
Got it. And then, given that this was like essentially a backward integration project for the company, so in this scenario where seems like it could be better to buy the imported ammonia rather than produce it in-house, so would we look to run the plant at a lower utilization initially, or would we still look to ramp it up? Just to get your thoughts there. I'm not very clear how that plays out going ahead.
So one is we have tied up long-term gas, which has certain minimum offtake commitments. To that extent, within that flexibility that we have, we would keep the production at that level. And the balance, we always have the choice of continuing to import. So that's really the way we would approach it. But there's also a factor that the capacity utilization, at higher capacity utilization, our cost of production is also lower. So we need to balance between reducing our capacity utilization and sort of looking at balance importing through the import channels. But in such case, the cost of production we may have to compromise because these plants, as they run on 100% or thereabout capacity, their energy efficiencies are significantly better than at lower capacity utilization.
Got it. So basically, if we do end up like running the plant at a high utilization, essentially, is it fair to assume that our the spreads that we make in our downstream products like TAN or nitric acid, that will get impacted because if we don't, like basically we'll be producing more expensive ammonia in-house than we can buy from outside. Would that mean that it has a negative impact on our EBITDA as this plant ramps up? Or I know that this is a very... it's a very cyclical margin and we're probably at the other end of the extreme on the margin. So this has to normalize at some point. But given where we are today, just wanted to get your thoughts on how that would impact our P&L.
So as such, we are going to transfer the ammonia from our ammonia plant, which is into a separate legal entity, Performance Chemical, at the arm's length prices to our downstream products. But to that extent, whatever, let's say, downside we would see at PCL level, which is at ammonia plant level, that from a consolidation point of view, yes, it would have an impact on our margins. But individually speaking for each of our products, because they would get ammonia at the arm's length price, there's not going to be any impact as such.
And just for the TAN business, the other question was, again, like you indicated that there's been a lot of dumping by Russia as they're like trying to resupply to India because of geopolitics. How do you see this playing out in the next 1-2 years? Because will the government come in and step in to protect domestic manufacturers Because dumping clearly should have some response from the government, right?
So it is difficult to predict what government would do, but what we can definitely say is that in the past, there has been anti-dumping duty has been imposed by government in TAN sector. So the at least the history suggests that there could be a case for anti-dumping, but we would not like to hazard a guess as to what government would do in such a scenario. Overall, while one aspect is of course the let's say in this season there was cheaper import that came from Russia because of the factors that Russian product was not finding outlet elsewhere. But there was also a larger overhang of nitrates globally in terms of the price reduction because European season and demand was on the lower side and they were channel inventory. Now that we are already seeing that because of certain incentives that European governments are giving to farmers as well as the we are seeing uptake, much better uptake in this new season of crop season in Europe. We expect that the nitrates, in general nitrate prices will recover. And that should have a bearing also on, even if the import continues to come from Russia, it would obviously come at a price parity with the nitrates in the rest of the global market.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi. This is regarding the subsidy, fertilizer subsidy reduction that the government did and we have to take it in our books. Just to get an understanding of it, whether this lower subsidy is extended for the second and the third quarter and what is the possible impact that we could see because of this, just to get an idea of how does this pan out for the rest of the year.
So as such, the revised subsidy announced by government is valid or rather applicable from April 1st to September end. The impact that we saw, which was about 161 odd crore, is because of channel inventory. Going forward, as much as the NBS has come down or will be lower, NBS would be applicable. Even the raw material prices have commensurately come down. And as our MD was earlier mentioning, that overall, if you look at product by product, per ton margins compared to what we saw last year, if we remove the impact of this subsidy reduction and the impact that we have taken on our inventory, the margins are better. Per ton margins in our products are better. So we in fact see a better sort of a positive sort of traction both in terms of volume and margins going forward in the coming quarters.
Okay. And in case of ammonia, I mean, for the let's assume for the price that is running FOB $232 to $250, at what utilization level would we match this cost? I mean, if we have to match the cost for our production, at what would be the utilization level that we would need to operate the plant at?
So the point I was making is that as opposed to running the plant at 70-80%, it would always be better to run the plant at 100% capacity utilization because the energy consumption norms are quite sort of perceptibly better at 100% vis-a-vis 80%. But at 100% also, current prices of gas and ammonia, we are in that negative sort of domain. And to that extent, the prices of ammonia need to recover for us to break even. And we are seeing, as I was mentioning, the nitrates and nitrogen prices in general have seen weakness in this quarter. And as those recover, ammonia is expected to recover. Even cost of production of ammonia, marginal cost of production of ammonia in places like Europe is still high because the gas prices are, TTF prices are high. So we expect that the ammonia prices will recover in a matter of time. And that with that, we should be in a position to break even and make positive margins.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Some clarifications, sir. Firstly, on the, as you mentioned that we are moving from commodity to specialty, especially on the TAN side of the business, you said total cost offering kind of services we are now providing. So just wanted to understand the thought process behind it and what exactly we do here and what is the size of opportunity we see in this kind of services.
My colleague Tarun is there. He heads our TAN business. Tarun, would you like to take that question, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Amitabh. Am I audible, Amitabh?
Yes, you are.
Okay, good. Thank you for your question. So talking of technical ammonium nitrate business and the journey of, from commodity to specialty, what we mean by that and the concept called total cost of ownership. So there are two components of the term specialty, the way we look at it in our TAN business. One is specialty products, which are not commodity products. And secondly, it's the customized solutions, which make it special in terms of our offering to our consumers, and the consumers being the mining industry, the mine owners, the mine operators, infrastructure projects, so on and so forth. So those are the two components of specialty. Now, the concept of total cost of ownership in simple terms means it's the cost of extraction of mineral or cost of extraction of rock, depending on whatever be the case. That's what we are attempting to improve through this customized solutions. And the way we are approaching that is there are essentially five value streams, the way we look at it in any mining operations, they being drilling, blasting, excavation, hauling, which is same as transport, and then crushing, if applicable. So these are the five value streams. And the sum total of all the costs becomes the cost of mineral extraction for the mine operator. So we have started to build in capabilities in the form of tools, softwares, people capability, all of that over the last 1.5 years to try and attempt to bring about improvements in each of these five value streams of a mining operation and thereby reducing the total cost of ownership or total cost of mineral extraction for the mine operators, which is going to be beneficial for them. So that's in summary, this whole solution-based and specialty-based, transformation journey of technical ammonium nitrate business, riding on the concept of total cost of ownership.
And what is the size of opportunity we see here and how big can this be for us at least in next 2-3 years?
So in terms of the opportunity, the universe is quite large. Effectively, every single mine in India and every single infrastructure project in India has opportunities, if not in all those five value streams, then at least in some of those value streams. And, you can just imagine how big is the opportunity. We have just started this journey, as I said, 1.5 years ago. We are very excited about it as we go along in terms of the growth potential for the business and equally importantly for us to be able to add value, to the consumers, which are the mining companies and the infrastructure project owners.
Any global benchmark kind of companies you have which offers this kind of services, or is this something new we have thought about and we don't have any benchmark of these kind of services?
So internationally, the leading, explosives manufacturing companies, some of them, not all, they do have this business model in place. Certainly in the Indian industry, I think we are going to be more or less the pioneer. Because if I may add one more point to make it, you know, Mr. Mehta in his initial address also talked about a holistic solution. One part of holistic solution for our technical ammonium nitrate business, and TCO is just a part of it. But if you look at it, the overall part, you see how integrated we are in terms of being able to provide the solutions to the mining companies. For example, we have our own ammonia. We have our own ammonium nitrate. We are having forward integration initiatives in the explosives area. And then we are investing in blasting technology, which I was talking about. All this unique chain, starting from ammonia going up to blasting technology, we are the only company in India, you know, to have this holistic and complete value chain as in our offering. So it's really unique from an Indian point of view.
And any particular number or numbers we are targeting in next 2 to 3 years in terms of revenue from this?
So as I said, the potential is huge. And we are starting from a small base, you know, because we started this journey just about 1.5 years ago. So we definitely see, you know, some good momentum picking up in the coming months and years. And hence, quite a bit of growth, both in top line and bottom line through this business model.
Okay. And when are we planning to commercial production of ammonia plant, or has it started yet?
Amitabh, you want to take that?
So currently the trial productions are on. We are monitoring the performance parameters. And as the performance parameters and the plant operation stabilizes, by and large, we would be in a position to declare commercial operation.
All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Deepak Puttar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. I'm audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So, the first step, I wanted to understand on the ammonia, our new plant. Now you mentioned we are having a $125 to $150 per ton of negative carry as compared to import parity prices, right? So, as we stand, I mean, on our overall capacity of 0.5 million tons. If I have to just calculate, so a 500 crores kind of annual EBITDA impact could be there because of this negative negativity with the input parity prices at full utilization.
Well, I don't think we have done an annual calculation. We'll see as the ammonia prices, and we are confident that the overall nitrogenous fertilizer demand is picking up and overall nitrogen prices are going up. There has to be a recovery for ammonia in the second half of this year. I think it's too early for us to hazard a guess in terms of what will be the annual impact on.
But as per current parity prices, my calculation is correct, right? 0.5 into $125 into 80 rupees. I mean, that way.
What do I comment on that? I mean, you get.
Okay, understood. Fair enough. And sir, our incremental impact on depreciation and interest will be about 300 crores and 200 crores respectively from this plant and on an annual basis?
So in terms of interest, we are restricting our overall debt on this this project to about 2,000 crores. If you recall earlier, we were looking to raise almost 2,600 crores, but we have funded it from our own internal accruals. So on 2,000 crore debt, we are looking at about 9.25 kind of interest rate. So you can do that calculation. As far as depreciation is concerned, it's roughly about 200 crores annually.
How much?
200 crores.
Depreciation is 200 crores.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. And sir, in one of the comments earlier, you mentioned that TAN profitability should improve. Did I hear correct? I mean, going forward?
Yeah, the point I was making is that in general, the nitrate prices have seen weakness because of Europe season, and in general they were channel inventories of nitrates. To that extent, and we are already seeing in Europe, the offtake of nitrates has been quite good in the new season. Also, overall, I think there have been farmer incentives as such in Europe, and that is reflecting in terms of not just the offtake of nitrates, but even recovery of nitrogen, in general nitrogen as fertilizer. And that should reflect, because if you look at overall fertilizer grade ammonium nitrate is part of the overall basket of nitrates, including urea, ammonium nitrate. And as those prices recover, from a parity perspective, the prices of fertilizer grade ammonium nitrate should also recover. And I must also mention that we believe that we have seen the bottom. There is already some recovery that we have seen in Afghan black sea prices in recent times.
Okay, but the pressure that you mentioned because of the dumping from Russia as well as the export ban. So those pressures, are easing out in that sense.
So as far as the export is concerned, the merit of having imposed the export ban at a stage where India was reeling under pressure that, you know, there would not be enough ammonium nitrate from a coal production point of view, that has certainly eased out. And the import that has happened from Russia suggests that there is enough ammonium nitrate available. And with that view, we are quite hopeful that government would lift the ban on TAN.
Uh-huh.
So that is certainly the case.
Understood. And my final question is on your duty. I mean, you mentioned that this quarter we had a two quarters impact of subsidy reduction, right? So what would be a normal run rate of this, subsidy impact per quarter going forward?
So like I mentioned, that this impact is on the channel inventory. Mm-hmm. But the NGS prices have come down commensurate with the raw material prices. So going forward, it's business as usual, meaning that you are now on a new NGS regime, and you are also going to be producing at the lower or new prices of raw material. So this one time, or I would say the impact that comes in channel inventory as and when NGS changes, mm-hmm. that aspect is not going to be there. We would be back into a normal, kind of margins that we would make. And I was mentioning, and our MD also made that point, that per ton kind of margins in each of our products, we are seeing better margins compared to a similar period last year.
Correct. So this 160 crores would be considered as a one-time impact, right? It will not react.
In a sense, yes. As and when NBS changes, there can always be an impact. But right now, we are into the new NBS, which is effective from April to September. That impact we have taken on our channel inventory.
Quite useful, sir. I think that's it from my side. All the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Jainam Gilani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for giving me this opportunity. So most of my questions have been answered, but I just have one more question. So have we signed any contracts for gas pricing? And if so, what is the gas price that we've finalized on?
So we have signed contracts for next 3 years of gas. These are three different buckets of contracts. Some contracts are related to Brent prices, and therefore the prices of gas would depend on the Brent movement. There are balance are linked with Henry Hub prices and also JKM, Japan Korea market. This is the domestic gas, which is also capped by government PPAC guideline or the PPAC sort of price cap on gas. So a combination of these three is going to determine our prices. So effectively, we are one is taking a view on Brent, Henry Hub, and JKM put together. So difficult to say which way it would move. What we've also done is we've taken certain hedging position to ensure that if some of these commodities go up, we do have a protection on the upper side.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And sir, can we expect this to be the bottoming out of ammonia prices, or can it for the?
No, I think in our view, the point I was mentioning about nitrogenous fertilizers and nitrates in general, having seen the bottom, we are seeing demand recovery. Also, producers, you know, the inventory which was there with producers has is now getting exhausted. So nitrate prices, in general, nitrogen prices will go up from here and should go up from here. And as the demand recovery happens, the incremental cost of production of ammonia in Europe is still very high. So the prices of ammonia need obviously have to somewhere reflect these fundamentals.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Viraj Parekh from JMP Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions on the debt side. So what would be our gross and net debt as on date?
We are debt is about 2,600 crore end of June. And we were holding roughly about 1,300 crore of cash balance, so about 3,950 odd crores of gross debt.
All right. And since we've seen a significant spike in the finance cost for the quarter gone by for Q1 vis-a-vis the previous periods, should we work on this run rate in terms of the finance cost for the rest of the financial year?
So there is, in general, there is an increase in MCLR, and to the extent loans do get adjusted to or get reset because of the new MCLR on reset date, there is an increase, or there would be an increase in interest cost. But incidentally for us, compared to March 23, in June 23, our average cost of borrowing we have reduced by about 40 basis points. We were earlier, you know, holding slightly expensive loans on ammonia project, which we repaid completely in this quarter. And we are refinancing those loans with cheaper loans.
Okay. All right, sir. All right. And so, you know, just another one on this. So by the end of March 24, what should be our gross debt number? Should we be at similar levels, or there will be a spike?
So we have, see, fundamentally, ammonia project is now complete, and particularly complete from the debt standpoint. Whatever debt we needed to draw, we have drawn an ammonia project. The debt which would get added from here on would be the debt on TAN Gopalpur. Roughly, I would say 400 to 500 odd crore should get added on Gopalpur till March. Equally, through the year, we roughly pay about 250 to 300 crore. We amortize the debt. For the balance period, whatever is the pro rata number, that should come down. But I think that's how we should look at the debt number, gross debt. And net debt would also, in some sense, would depend on how the business performs in next three quarters.
Right, sir. Sure. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks. And all the best.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Aditya Bagaria from Vision Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just want to get a brief overview on how the ammonia cycle works. Now, from what I understand, there's a demand shortfall, and because of that, the markets are down. But essentially, are all the producers in the world right now selling ammonia at a loss? Because how does the ammonia end up being at the rate, in spite of the gases being at the rate that they are? So if you can shed light on that, it would be helpful.
See, one is ammonia cycle in the past, and we've spoken about it, that when we look at our own imported cost in last 10 to 15 years, we have seen an average of $420 to $430 FOB Middle East prices. which landed cost basis would be in the range of $500 to $510. So that's how average of ammonia import cost has moved for us. Now, in that average, we've seen a lower cycle the way we are seeing right now, which is $220, $230, $240, $250-odd. But we've seen the higher end of $1,200 as well. In fact, in the recent past, the whole of last year, the average cost of or average FOB Middle East prices would have been somewhere in the range of $650-odd, with the, I would say, the upper side of $1,200-odd. So that's the kind of cycle that you would see. Now, globally, ammonia that gets traded and procured by the players who are not integrated with ammonia, they depend on the global trade or the surplus capacities which either come from integrated plants or certain merchant plants that ammonia merchant plants which trade into the market. What we have seen in the past, and the numbers are no different currently, is that roughly while the increase on the demand side has been about 1.5% or so, 1.5 to 2%, the supply side is somewhere between 0.5 to 1% in terms of the addition, as you look at CAGR or per annum addition, and that kind of gives us that assurance that, you know, supply side is remaining, I would, somewhere behind in terms of the demand side, and that should sooner or later reflect on the ammonia traded prices. What happens is in all of this, there are players, global players who have access to cheaper cost of gas, because these are gas producing or gas surplus countries or locations. However, the prices of ammonia would always, like in any other commodity, will get determined by the incremental cost of production. Because if the demand goes up, it's the last plant that produces ammonia to cater to that demand is what would determine the prices of ammonia. And that is where I was mentioning earlier that in Europe, given the TTF prices of gas are still high and will perhaps go higher as the winter progresses, the cost of producing ammonia in Europe will remain high. Today, because the demand side is lower or nitrogenous fertilizer demand is weak, some of those incremental plants are shut and therefore ammonia demand is low, and there is also maybe a channel inventory. Now, as that equalizes, we are going to see again the demand supply fundamentals playing out, and there should be that the lower end of this the commodity prices that we have seen, we should see recovery from here.
All right, sir. That clarifies that particular aspect. Another small aspect, although it's nothing compared to our balance sheet at this point, but the real estate division, with the onset of the interest rates going up and also the property market picking up, why aren't we trying to basically get done with the sale that we've been trying to do for the past several quarters now? It'll also help us ease out the increasing debt in our balance sheet. So is there any update on that end?
So fundamentally, any non-core asset that we have, we've been reviewing that closely. We have recently started selling some of our non-core real estate land, not necessarily in Pune, but we had some land outside of Pune. We have sold that. And therefore, directionally, we are looking at coming out of our North Core. The timing of when we take a decision on our Pune land and then how do we really go ahead with that, because that even that has more than one parcel of land. We would inform as and when board takes a view on that.
All right, sir. Thank you. That will be all from my end.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Pinaki Banerjee from AUM Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. I would like to ask one some question on the isopropyl alcohol segment. In the presentation you have mentioned because of that imposition of import restrictions by the government of India has been one of the prime reasons for the significant jump in volumes this quarter. And if you go back, FY22, you had about 64,900 empty, which had fallen drastically to 43,900 in FY23. So how much are you expecting to produce for this fiscal, considering the fact that all these import restrictions have come?
So this quarter, our production has been around 19,000 tons. Exactly, if I and our capacity utilizations were about 111%,
right,
and we produce about 19,467. We are quite hopeful that our run rates this year should be, I would say, extrapolation of what we have seen in quarter one.
So basically, you are expecting to surpass your FY22 levels.
I don't know what the FY22 level has said, but
it was like around 64,900.
Yeah, I think that should be possible. Though we'll have to see how the prices on propylene prices vis-a-vis acetone prices, also the overall demand size, as we'll have to see what happens in the next 3 quarters. But we are, you know, the signs in terms of what has happened in Q1 on turnaround in IPA are very positive.
Okay. So actually, can you give us a breakup of in this segment with ratio of B2B or B2C? Is there any segregation in this segment with regards to this?
We are largely or significantly still in B2B because pharma remains almost 80% plus kind of volumes go into pharma segment as solvent. Even the other sectors that we service through LPA are largely B2B. Even in our Coronate, which is the segment which in a sense is also disinfectant, we are focusing on institutional customers. There are product portfolio which caters to the retail customers, but our focus is also going to be in hospital segment, with disinfection for hospital segment.
So just one last question regarding the TAN segment. So actually, since it is being used for manufacturing of explosives, are you supplying this products to any defense company?
Tarun?
Sir, are you supplying any of this TAN product to any defense sector because of this explosive properties?
I was inviting Tarun, my colleague, to comment on that.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that question, Amitabh. Yeah, thanks. So as far as TAN is concerned, there is a very small proportion of TAN in our business which goes to some ordnance factories,
okay,
which is then used for converting into some sort of products which eventually get used in the defense sector. So we are a couple of steps away from that.
So considering the fact that the defense, there is a huge expectation from the defense segment, so are you planning to further increase its exposure to exposure?
So I can talk from a technical ammonium nitrate perspective, and certainly Amitabh can add more from a group strategy point of view. So at this stage, you know, the technical ammonium nitrate business is focusing more on our transformation journey that I talked about, which consists of a complete value chain starting from ammonia, ammonium nitrate, forward integration into explosives, and then into blasting solutions, and finally mine productivity improvements. That's what we will be focusing on as a part of the core strategy for our business.
Okay, sir. That will do. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Meet Vora from MK Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was, sir, what will be our cost of producing ammonia, dollar per ton, including the current gas cost and the conversion cost, versus the Middle East prices where we break even? if we exclude the freight and customs duty that we pay while importing?
I have already answered that question.
So the current gas prices, including it, should be around $380? Our cost of producing ammonia?
No, I mentioned that overall from a import parity versus our cost of production, we are in that $125 to $150 range, depending on the price fluctuation we are seeing in ammonia. That's the negative we are seeing currently.
Sure, sir. Secondly, in terms of the contracts that we enter into for our TAN and nitric acid business, how do we fix the pricing? Are these formula linked to ammonia, or if you know, you could just give a broad sense on what will be our spot, what will be our long term, and how do we fix the pricing?
The prices typically of any product, there is a combination of contractual customers and spot customers. Contractual customers are typically on the basis of certain margin protection where we pass on increase and decrease in cost. As far as spot is concerned, we look at each of our customer location, what is the next best alternative they have, and typically our prices are to some premium over the other alternative given the quality of our product, given the kind of reach we have, the turnaround time in terms of reaching the product to our customers. So largely that's the way any spot commodity or commodity is priced on spot basis, and we are no different.
Sure. What will be our ROC for TAN project that we would have initially worked on? Versus what would have changed now, or you know, just to know what will be the payback of this project that we were initially expecting versus what will be it now?
And you said TAN?
Yes.
But TAN,
ammonia. Sorry.
Ammonia. See, look, you need to look at ammonia. You can't look at it in one quarter. I mean, if you asked me this question in previous quarter. A quarter before that, based on that quarter's price, the number could be very different. Therefore, you need to look at these 20-year, 30-year projects on the basis of the average of commodity cycle. And that's where I just explained that, you know, in last 10, 15 years, we've seen prices of $420, $430 FOB Middle East. And that's the basis on which we conceptualize the project, and we don't see the commodity prices are going to be any different. You in one quarter, you may see $1,000. In another quarter, you are seeing $250. Now you can't keep changing your payback based on what happens in that quarter.
Understood. Thanks so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Pallav Garg from Star Health. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon everyone. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. For the first question I wanted to know was the CapEx plans that you have for FY24-25. At least the TAN project is the one where you would be putting in most of your CapEx. But apart from that, is there any debottlenecking projects or assignments? And apart from that, any maintenance? So how should we look at
that? As of now, the project that we are working on after ammonia completion,
yeah.
TAN is the only, TAN Gopalpur project is the only project that we are working on. So as such, based on whatever decision boards have taken so far, these are the projects. These two are the main projects that we are undertaking.
So practically, whatever remaining capex for this project, and additionally some maintenance capex is what we should be expecting. I hope my understanding is right.
Yeah, that's correct. See, in the past, as you would recollect, we've also, our MD has also made that point that the next round of growth that we see is also going to be from a potential opportunity that we would see in brownfield expansion in the Dahej asset project. The timing of it or when does that happen? We, as and when it takes place, we would bring it to the investors. But as of now, these are the two projects we are working on.
Got it. So, and sir, you mentioned very interesting point that you have been taking some hedging positions to cover up for any spike in the raw material prices. If you can divulge some details around what are these products, from what index, what kind of percentage of your coal consumption and pricing levels, if you can tell anything on that.
Right now, we have taken position on Brent-related contracts. We are evaluating the positions in other contracts as well.
Okay. So practically, this is just for the gas coverage, covering that.
Okay.
And I believe the subsidy impact which we had for this this quarter, 161 crores, this is in a way, this is not resulting in like any cash outflow. Rather, it is just an impact on the P&L accounting statement item. So practically, what the portion of the income which we registered for fourth quarter of last fiscal, and the one which is for this quarter, that is the impact which we have to bear, right?
Yeah. See, to the extent channel inventories are yet to be sold, the realization on that both from trade and subsidy has to still take place. But since you have booked the sales at a particular value and that VF has come down, it's you need to take that accounting. There's no outgo of equivalent amount as such.
Yeah. So let's say if we kind of imagine ourselves in a world where the NBA subsidies are getting repriced every now and then based on the prevailing raw material prices, this impact would never have been there because that differential would have been built in the price there itself when the commodities were, when we were producing our products, right?
I'm not sure if I got your question, but fundamentally anything that we are going to sell going forward will be at the new subsidy regime. To the extent you have sold and collected, you have collected. To the extent you have inventory which you have earlier booked at a particular value and on that subsidy has come down, you need to revise that and you need to sort of take that impact on that general inventory.
Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amitabh Bhargava for closing comments.
Well, thank you everyone for your incisive questions. For any further queries or clarifications, please do get in touch with our investor relations team. Have a good day and thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.